How bad do you want deliverance from alcoholism? How bad do you want deliverance from drugs? How bad do you want to save your marriage? Do you want it bad enough to give up dinner? How bad do you want it?
Dr. Tony Evans says fasting can be the key to your breakthrough.
Do you want it bad enough to throw yourself flush before God and say, I can't? You must.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans believes that one of the best ways to satisfy your spiritual appetite is to sometimes say no to your physical one. So today he begins a collection of messages on the subject of fasting. Let's join him.
The true story is told of two lumberjacks. One was older, the other one was younger, and the younger one had gotten somewhat proud of the fact that he could cut down trees at a pretty fast rate. And even though the older lumberjack was known for his speed, he now felt that he had the wherewithal to challenge him to a tree-cutting contest. And the young man, with all of his vim, vigor, and vitality, went at it. And he chopped down one tree after another tree. He went nonstop all day long. He knew that it looked pretty good for him when he noticed that the older lumberjack would only chop trees down for 1 hour and then take a 15-minute rest. Chop another hour, then another 15-minute break. But when the end of the day came, the older lumberjack had chopped down one-third more trees than the younger lumberjack. Somewhat muffed and put off, he went over to the old statesman of forestry and said, "How in the world could you cut down more trees than I could, going nonstop all day long?" The older gentleman looked at him and said, "Because when I stopped cutting and sat down, I sharpened my axe." A lot of us been working hard to do right, but with dull axes, and wonder why the trees aren't falling. We've made resolutions last year. After 2 months, the axe got dull, and the trees stopped falling. Fasting is the way that gets through the gateway to get to God in the crises of life. So let me say four things today about fasting. First of all, let me review with you the principle of fasting. In the Bible, fasting occurred when there was the need for a spiritual breakthrough due to the burdens of life. It could be emotional burdens, circumstantial burdens, relationship burdens, ministerial burdens, the directional burdens, which direction you should take in life. So it was no small thing. What is fasting? Fasting is the deliberate abstinence from physical gratification in order to achieve a spiritual goal. It is a denial of the flesh in order to gain a response from the spirit. Secondly, the purpose of fasting. If you look with me very quickly at Isaiah chapter 58, which is the longest, most comprehensive passage on fasting in the whole Bible. "Cry aloud, do not hold back," verse 1 says. "Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that does righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinances of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers." Now watch this. "Behold, you fast for contention, strife, and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high." Why do you fast? To make your voice heard on high. When you fast with the proper motivation, your voice is heard on high. We spend so much time with God on the run. We spend so much time with God nickel and diming him. He says, "Are you willing to have a concentrated time to make sure that you are in my presence. Look at what we do to eat when we're hungry. When we're hungry, we make a way out of no way. We make sandwiches out of that which is unsandwichable. Okay? We stop by, we go out of our way, we say, I gotta go cross there and get their meal. Why? Because we are desperate to be satisfied. He says, when you fast, you are desperate to make your voice heard on high. Now listen to verse 5. It is a fast like this, which I choose. A day for a man, now watch this, to humble himself. It is for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? It is a humbling experience to fast. So what God does is he promises to the person who comes to him and is willing to give up the cry of the flesh for a greater need of the spirit to sharpen their focus between the physical and the spiritual natures, in that eating is fundamental to physical well-being, but not eating is fundamental to spiritual well-being. Or as Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That life is not just how well you're doing with your body. In fact, some of us spend so much money covering up our outer man because our inner man is so ugly. In fact, the uglier your inner man is, the more money you might be spending on your outer man to camouflage how messed up you really are. Some of the most prettiest, most beautiful, most gorgeous people that you ever want to see on TV or in Hollywood or walking down the street are also some of the most messed up folk you have ever run into in your life. Men, don't hang out with a woman just because she's pretty, because you may be marrying something ugly once you get to live with it, okay? The issue is that our inner man must be beautified, must be fed to complement what we're trying to do with the outer man. And he says fasting is the way to do that. Fasting acknowledges our spiritual nature. It says that there's more to me than what you see. There's more to me than what you see. That's why I like 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which says man is spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit. You're not body, soul, and spirit. You are spirit, soul, and body. You say, well, you just said the same thing. No, I didn't. You're not body, soul, and spirit. You're spirit, soul, and body. Now, why is that important? Because if you look at yourself as body, soul, and spirit, you'll live your life from the outside in. But if you understand that you're spirit, soul, and body, then you'll live your life from the inside out. What is your spirit? It is that part of you that gives you the ability to communicate with God. What is your soul? It's that part of you that gives you the ability to communicate with yourself. You know you're sitting here right now because of your soul. Your personality is different than somebody else's because of your soul. What is your body? Your body gives you the ability to communicate with your environment, the five senses. So the way you ought to live life, God says, is from your spirit to your soul and then to your body. The reason why we have messed up bodies is because we have messed up souls. It is when the drug addict who's been to every counseling session, taken every 12-step program, and he comes to the end of himself, I can't give up this desire for these drugs. God says, gotcha. You are now at the end of yourself. Fasting is a way of humbling yourself before God. At least the third point, the practice of the fast. Well, what do I do? Look at Psalm 69, verse 10. When I wept in my soul with fasting, fasting is when your soul cries. It's not just not eating on Wednesday because it's Wednesday, not eating fish on Friday. That's not what it is. It's an intentional abstinence related to a burden of the soul. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. And when I made sackcloth with clothing, I became a byword to them. In other words, people made fun of me. Those who sit in the gates, they talked about me. Look at that fool, fasting, not eating, like that's going to do him some good. And I am the song of drunkards. Drunk people are singing about me in jest. Oh, but look at verse 13. But as for me, My prayer, because fasting always went with prayer, my prayer is to thee, O Lord. I'm not talking to them, I'm talking to you. At an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes. May the floods of water not overflow me. May the deep not swallow me up, and may the pit not shut its mouth on me. My world is closing in. Anybody ever felt like that? Well, your world is closing in. He says, when your world is closing in, don't come to Pastor Evans. I can't even keep my world from closing in. In fact, after I went through this fasting thing, I decided, man, I shouldn't see any people more than twice. Because at the third lesson, I'm only going to repeat a different way what I told you the first two times. What you need is to hear from God. You need to hear from God, and that's what he says. He says, I came before you in fasting. And when I came before you, I told you that my world is closing in on me. And when you desperately need him to come through, the Bible says you go to him in prayer. Look at Joel chapter 2. He brings up this whole concept of fasting and prayer and how we are to relate to God in this subject of fasting and prayer. Joel 2, he says, verse 12, and even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. It's a very serious time. And rent your heart, not your garments, and return to the Lord, for he is gracious and compassionate. Watch this. Compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, relenting of evil. He's ready to change negative to positive at a moment's notice. Who knows whether he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind. He will not only turn things around, he'll leave some extra behind, he says. And verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. A very serious gathering of God's people to get God's attention. Now the question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want deliverance from alcoholism? How bad do you want deliverance from drugs? How bad do you want to save your marriage? Do you want it bad enough to give up dinner? Do you want it bad enough to give up other gratifications? Do you want it bad enough to throw yourself flush before God and say, I can't? You must.
And Dr. Evans will come back to explain what we can expect when we turn to God first in a time of crisis. Right now, though, I want to mention that today's lesson is the first in Tony's series on fasting. We'll only be able to bring you some highlights in the days ahead, but the complete collection is available. In fact, we're making all 14 messages in this two-volume series available as our thank you gift to those who can support Tony's ministry right now with a contribution of any size. This offer is only available for a short time, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org and get your copy of Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and make your request before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on, and Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message right after this.
What if you could step off a plane and step into history? Living History, where stories you've heard for years come to life and take on new meaning because you're right there where they happened. Instead of telling your children about the resurrection, imagine standing with them in the empty tomb. Picture yourself on the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, or exploring the Old City of Jerusalem. You can do all this and more on the vacation of a lifetime. And do it with Tony Evans when he hosts his Tour of Israel this November. You'll enjoy world-class accommodations and delicious meals as you tour the most beloved sites in the Holy Land. There'll be teaching sessions with Tony where you'll learn about the history and significance of the places you visit, plus great music and worship. Best of all, you'll share an unforgettable experience that'll change the way you understand Scripture. Now's the time to make plans since space is limited and slots are already filling up. Check out the complete itinerary at tonyevans.org and make your reservation before it's too late. That's tonyevans.org.
In Mexico, there's an Aztec ruin that leads to a gorgeous seaside cavern, but it has a little opening you have to crawl through to get to the beautiful site. See, we want the beautiful site, we just don't want to do the crawling. You have to humble yourself before God. For the Bible says in James chapter 4 that only those who humble themselves will God lift up. That is to go low. That's what to humble yourself means. It means to bow down, not only physically, but spiritually. And fasting is a way of bowing down. I'm giving up food. I'm giving up this gratification in order that I might experience God at another level. And so it's prayer. It's praise. It's proclamation. It's hearing God's word. You ought to read Psalm 51 to deal with sin in your life. David says, search my heart, O Lord. I don't even know my heart. And I have sinned against you, and I throw myself on your mercy. You ought to go to Isaiah 58, Luke 4, Joel 2, Nehemiah 9, and all the Psalms that deal with David says in Psalm 42. Oh, my soul, why art thou distressed within me? Hope thou in God. He was about to give up, and I know there's some folks here who want to give up, but have you fasted about it yet? Because if you haven't fasted, you haven't done everything. He says, when you've done all that you can do, stand. But you, if you haven't fasted, you've not yet done all that you can do. You have one more option here, and that is to throw yourself on the mercy of God in humility while giving up the craving of the flesh for the greater need of the Spirit. I challenge you to get a notebook for this week or some paper. And on one side, you write out what you want God to do. And I mean write it out specifically. Don't say, Lord, bless me. Some vague something that you won't know if it happened. I want you to lay it out. I want to get this particular healing of this particular body part in my life. I want you to win my mother to Jesus Christ. I want you to take away from me this weakness where I can't say no to drugs. I want you to get pornography out of my life. I want you to lay it out there. And then you put that piece of paper before the Lord Jesus Christ and you lay it out and say, now, Lord, this is why I'm giving up food. I'm giving up food because I need you on number one, number two, number three, number four, and number five, and I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And then on the other side, when the Lord comes through, write it down. It was in the month of February when I noticed my taste buds begin to change. It was in the middle of March when I noticed the fact that my desires began to change. It was in July when I noticed that my mate started treating me better. And the reason I want you to write it down so you can tell somebody. So you can let somebody know what God did for you. So you can tell them, you don't know like I know what God can do because I experienced them for myself. Stop piggybacking over other folks' blessings. Stop, get your own testimony of what God did for you. Don't just talk about what I saw, what God did for Jane. If he's in your life, he's your God. So what can I expect if I fast, if I develop this as my response mechanism to crisis? Well, let's finally again look at Isaiah 58. And he says in closing these words. Verse 6, is it not the fast which I choose? Now watch this. Isaiah 58, 6, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Every addiction. Every oppression. Stuff you can't shake. He says, is this not why you fast? That I might break the stuff that you haven't broken yet? That I might deliver you from the stuff that nobody has been able to help you to be delivered from? Have you tried me this way? He says, if you haven't tried this, you haven't been to the right program yet. Look, I'm going to save some of you some money this week. Because when God breaks through and it doesn't cost you anything, you know it's God. Freedom from bondage. Captivity. And so many of us are being held captive by things or other people or circumstances, chains around our minds. The Bible calls them strongholds, where God holds you oppressed in your mind and you get up depressed. Can hardly get out of bed because Satan has got a vice grip around your mind. God says, have you fasted yet? He says, is this not why you fast? That you might be loose from all of this? Verse 7. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into the house, and when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? You can't divide your bread unless you have bread to divide, right? You can't bring homeless into the house unless you have a house. You can't clothe the naked unless you have clothing to give them. And I like this last one. And not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Some of you running from your own family. Don't want to see your own people. Can't stand to look at each other. Can't stand to live with each other. Don't want the kids to come home. Don't want your husband to come home. To hide yourself from your own flesh. He says, have you fasted? He said, because if you fast, I can bless your business so that you have bread to share. I can get you a nicer home so that you have a home to share. Please notice, he's only interested in blessing you if you're going to be a conduit to others and you're not just going to keep it all for yourself. He doesn't mind blessing you as long as he can even use the blessing. But if he blesses you and he can't touch it, and none of God's people can touch it, and can never be available to the kingdom of God, then that's not the fast he's interested in. He says, is it not to change your circumstances so you can help others and to give you a better environment so that you don't have to hide from your own relatives? Verse 8, and then your light will break out like the dawn. Oh, I like this. Then the butterfly will come out of the cocoon of the caterpillar. Then all this stuff God gave you. See, we've been given all these spiritual resources. We've been seated in heavenly places and we don't even know where the chair is. We've been positioned next to Jesus Christ and we don't know where in the world that is. The flesh is so dominant the light doesn't break through. But he says you starve the flesh. What happens when you starve the flesh? You shrink, right? If you go on fasting, especially if you fast more than one meal, you're going to get weak. And that's wonderful. Why is it wonderful to get weak? Because now the flesh can't buck up like it used to. See, when you keep the flesh strong, it can buck off. And every time the spirit says, let's go serve God, flesh says, we ain't going nowhere. I run this show. I'm in charge here. Let's eat. But once the flesh starts to get weak, and you can't move fast as you normally move, and you can't act, the spirit's going to say, let's break out of here. And the flesh's going to say, I can't stop him. I'm too weak. For in our weakness, we are strong, Paul says. When we become weak, then we become strong. Because now we're feeding the spirit, the flesh is getting weaker. That's a good thing. Because it can't resist you as strongly. And your recovery will speedily come forth. Somebody need healing. You know why some of us are not getting bodily healing? Because we have two weak souls. And a lot of our bodily problems are related to weakness of soul. He says, strengthen your soul and your righteousness will go before you. You'll get back your testimony. And then I like the end of verse 8. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I will protect you. I'll cover your back, your rear guard. That's your back. I have your back. Now everybody wants somebody covering their back. God says, I got your back. I got your back at work. I got your back at home. I got your back at play. I got your back.
Dr. Evans will come back with a final story to wrap up our program, so stay with us. As always, copies of today's message are available for download or on CD or DVD. The title to request is The Importance of Fasting, and you'll receive the full-length version, which includes material we didn't have time to present on the air. Better yet, you can receive it as a part of Tony's current series, Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering all 14 messages in this two-volume CD series as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making a contribution of any amount. Contact us at tonyevans.org for the details or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explore the connection between faith and fasting and talk about how much of each of those it'll take before you see the breakthrough you've been waiting for. But now, as promised, here's Dr. Evans with a final illustration for us.
Since 1937, planes have been pressurized so that they can fly above the clouds. It is this pressure that allows them to go up 30 and 35,000 feet and you still survive. Listen, when you start this fasting and prayer, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen there. Satan and all of his minions are going to line up at cloud level. And gonna keep you, try to keep you below the clouds. They're gonna say, let's make sure that they don't get high. Let's make sure that they don't get up here close to the throne of God. He's gonna do everything he can to keep you below the cloud level. But if you fast and throw yourself on the mercy of God, you're gonna break the clouds. You say, but how can I make it up there? Because when you fast, he pressurizes your soul. So you can make it up there in heavenly places where God's blessings are, where God's power is. For you have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings, but they're located above the clouds. They're located in heavenly places. Don't let Satan keep you on the ground. It's time to fly.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.